You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Ryan Krause of the goldandgreennews.com, the Rivals affiliate covering Colorado State. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Doing well. Appreciate you having me, Grant.
Yeah, no, thanks for hopping on to give our Aggie fan base a good idea of what to expect Saturday from a Colorado State perspective. To get started, four games into the season, CSU is 2-2. How does that measure up to preseason expectations at this point?
Sure. Well, for me personally, I think going into the year, at least the first half of the schedule presented some problems for CSU. Certainly you have a brand new head coach, Mike Bobo from Georgia. This is his first head coaching gig. So you gotta figure there's gonna be some bumps in the road there. And of course, Nick Stephen, starting quarterback, this is his first year starting. He's a sophomore and his backup is a redshirt freshman, Coleman Key. So, having the new head coach and brand new starting quarterback and even a new sophomore running back starter, you knew there were going to be some hiccups. That being said, I think, you ask the majority of the CSU fan base, and I think they would tell you that they're pretty disappointed with the 2-2 start simply because, the two losses, both overtime losses, CSU realistically should have won both those games. And just a massive amount of turnovers and penalties were really the Achilles heel in those losses. And, I think when you have a chance to beat a Minnesota and Colorado, two Power Five schools that, again, should have been ones, I think it's leaves a pretty sour taste, especially the CU loss. That's CSU's biggest rival, of course. I think fans are pretty disappointed in that with, the return of Rashard Higgins, All-American receiver, eight returning starters on defense and just a lot of other pieces in place. That being said, when I looked at the schedule going into the year, I saw those two games as losses regardless. And of course with Utah State and Boise State both coming up, those are two, certainly very tough games. So, all in all, I think, fans just need to be patient, and realize that, the tough part of the schedule is at the start of the year. And even though they should have beaten those two teams they lost to, CSU is pretty much on track with, I think most people's expectations going into the season.
Okay. I mean, three of the games, the last three games have been really close, for Colorado State. I mean, how is the team, doing? I know this last one they kind of won and then the two previous one were those hard losses. I mean, how's the team doing morale wise?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think, there was so much hype coming into the season. You got to remember that, aside from going 10-3 last year, CSU's first 10-win season in, over a decade. And then with the passing of a brand new on-campus stadium that, construction's already started on that, and it'll be ready to open in, the fall of 2017. With Bo having all the success at Georgia with their offense, there's just a lot of hype surrounding this program coming into the season. So with that being said, the Minnesota game, certainly a tough loss. It took a lot of steam out of that. But even then, Minnesota played TCU so tough in week one that, a lot of fans are saying, okay, well, Minnesota's a really good team, and CSU almost beat them, so we're going to have high expectations still. And then the Colorado game with, Colorado losing their opening game to Hawaii on the road in really bad fashion. CSU fans at least, had very high expectations, thought they should have beaten, Colorado. And with back-to-back overtime losses that CSU should have won, it really took the breath out of the fan base, I think. And, last week winning just by two, a safety earlier in the game really being the difference there, against the UTSA team that had gotten blown out the first three games of the year, granted against very good teams, but, most fans assumed that CSU was just going to kind of steamroll them, but, I think they kind of saw that, there was a letdown from the Colorado loss and, the defense definitely did not play as well last week as it did the first three games of the season where we saw a good run defense. Last week they got shredded pretty good. So, To better answer your question, morale, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, the two losses definitely brought the team down. And I think last week, you know, they won, but it was kind of a nail biter for sure. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond, on the road again this week, you know, against a very good, Utah State team that, you know, is coming off a bye week. And even without, Chucky Keaton, you know, it's a team that's always given CSU fits.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about Utah State. I mean, Colorado State was picked to finish third behind Boise and Utah State in their division. Is Colorado State going to be coming into this game to try to prove a point that they have a shot at, you know, winning their division?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think, in their minds anyways, that, you know, they've kind of set the bar with Boise State being the team to beat in the conference. And I don't necessarily think they've overlooked Utah State at all. I mean, you look at last year's game and, you know, it wasn't to that, you know, late pass to, Rashard Higgins to set up the game winning field goal. CSU very, I mean, realistically could have or should have, however you want to look at it, lost that game. So, I think this is a game absolutely that I think if you look at both programs, Utah State has had a lot more recent success. CSU just has the 1 year to look at. With a pretty good record, but I think Utah State is, in my opinion, kind of that next stepping stone that if CSU really wants to, you know, be that perennial team in the conference to, be at the top, they've got to beat teams like Utah State on a consistent basis and not just, you know, 1 year at home. I think, you know, to answer your question, of course, CSU is going in with a chip on their shoulder. They think, you know, fans might be, you know, kind of grabbing at them, at their heels, just saying, you know, they're not quite good enough this year like we thought they were. And with so many seniors on this year's team, you've got to think that they're going into, Logan to prove a point.
Okay. Well, I mean, unfortunately for Utah State, Chucky Keaton has once again gone down with another, knee related injury. Kent Myers will be taking over at quarterback. How much do you think that would change Colorado State's game plan for this game?
You know, to be honest, I don't know if it's really going to change that much. You look at the style of offense that Utah State runs and the type of athletes they have at quarterback. I mean, you know, even Daryl Garrettson, I mean, he was kind of a dual threat guy, but he shredded CSU through the air a couple years ago and even beat them with his legs. So I think – regardless of who they have back there, Utah State's got some depth. They've got some players. And, you know as well as I do that there's a lot more than just the quarterback position. And I watched Utah State play Utah very tough, you know, just watching what they have in the trenches. And I think that says everything about their team on top of some of the athletes they have on both sides of the ball. And I think regardless of who they put back there as far as what I've seen from them in the past, I think they're going to have the depth and ability to beat CSU on the ground and through the air. So I think if you're Mike Bobo, Tyson Summers, the defense coordinator, I think it doesn't really change up your game plan too much. I think it's number one, stopping the run. CSU's been really good with, I believe they lead the country in three and outs this year, defensively. So I think that's gotta be goal number one. And just kind of hope that go from there to stop the pass. But stopping the run, I think is goal number one for them this week.
Okay, I mean, CSU has been doing actually really good things with third down defense. I think they're in the top 20 overall in stopping third down conversions. What is causing the defense to be so good on third down?
I think, in general, this defense has just really bought into Tyson Summers' physical mindset. I think it's really that simple. When you look at the pieces they have in place, they're not necessarily getting after the quarterback at an astounding rate. You know, you're seeing guys like Martavius Foster, who leads the team in four sacks. He was a reserve last year, didn't even play that much. And this year he's starting, he leads the team in sacks. You know, Joe Kowalik, he's steady, but he's not necessarily a pass rush specialist. So I think it's just kind of a mixture of there's more experience on this team. I mean, the two safeties you have back there, Trent Matthews has started, you know, all 4 years he's been at CSU. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, the other safety, this is his third year starting. So there's just a lot of experience back there. But just from watching the team and looking at film, they just get after it. They're much more physical, and you know, Summers is also trying to include more depth so guys do stay fresh. So, you know, later in games, they can bring in some other guys that are ready and capable to play when other guys' legs start to give out.
Okay. So let's switch gears, talk a little bit of offense. So you mentioned Nick Stevens, the new starter this year. I believe he's a sophomore. He had a really good game last week with over 200 yards throwing, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. How would you say he's looked as a first-year starter at Colorado State?
Right. Yeah, he's had kind of an up-and-down first 4 games at CSU. I mean, he was conference player of the week in week 1, but you look at who they played, he put up 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and really 2.5 quarters of play, but that was against Savannah State, who's one of the worst FCS teams in the country, so you can't really gauge his ability on that, in my opinion. And then week 2 against Minnesota, he would admit he had one of his worst games, probably of his life. He got replaced by Coleman Key in the 3rd quarter, and Key jump-started the team to bring them back and even go ahead. So, but then these past 2 weeks, Stevens had an up-and-down game against Colorado, and again an up-and-down game last week against UTSA. I mean, he put up really solid numbers last week, but if you watch the gameplay, there's some throws he missed, deep balls he overthrew a lot, some of his intermediate to short throws he kind of underthrew a little bit, and I think part of it of being pretty critical of him is you just look at the targets around him. Again, Rashard Higgins, who a lot of people thought coming into the season was the best receiver in the country, and then you have a stable of other receivers that are very talented, 2 tight ends, one in Stephen Walker, who was the conference first team all conference last year, and then Kevon Cartwright, who missed all but 1 game last year, who's you know, a top NFL prospect at tight end. So you have 2 stud tight ends that have hardly been utilized. So I think some of the angst from you know, fans and followers of the CSU program is just the fact that, okay, you know, Nick Stevens, yes, he's a first year starter, and yeah, he's had some success. If you watch the game, if you watch the games, he's a guy that you'd kind of expect to put up more numbers considering his ability and what kind of weapons he has surrounding him.
All right, well, you've mentioned Rashard Higgins, the receivers, the tight ends. What's going on in the backfield as far as running back for Colorado State? Is the main guy Jason Oden Jr., or are they more splitting time back there?
That's a great question. So going into the season, the projected starter was Treyus Jarrells. And he's a small guy that, you know, had some success last year but was mostly injured with various knee and ankle injuries. He's a junior college transfer. And as a senior this year, he missed a couple games with an ankle issue. And coming back off that injury, he's expected to start, but he didn't see any carries against Colorado, and behind the scenes there's some stuff going on, and he decided to leave the team about a week or week and a half ago. So that left Oden and Daylon Dawkins, a Purdue transfer. Dawkins had a great game against Colorado. He should be the starter, but he missed all of last week with the hamstring issue. He suited up but rode the bike most of the game. So we saw Jason Oden have a good game. So really, I mean, Dawkins had his great game against Colorado. Oden had a great game last week against Texas San Antonio. So at this rate, if Dawkins is fully healthy and ready to go, I think you'll see him start. He's a very small back that's more of a jitterbug, but don't let his size fool you. He's, you know, if you ask Mike Bobo, he'll tell you time and again that he's the toughest player on the entire football team. But again, that's provided he's healthy. Otherwise, you're going to see Jason Oden, who's more of an all-around back. He's bigger. CSU kind of utilizes him as their power back, but he can kind of do it all, but doesn't really have that breakaway speed.
Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned that the battle of the trenches. We're talking about the run game. Most people will look at the battle of the trenches to decide who they actually think will win the game. Who do you think will win that battle between Utah State and Colorado State?
Well, going into every game, to be honest, that's kind of what I look at first and foremost, because, I mean, usually whoever dominates the trenches or wins the trenches comes out victorious. You know, CSU, I think, has kind of had an up-and-down year from the offensive line position. You know, the unit kind of struggled in week one, even though CSU blew out Savannah State. I think guys are just kind of not used to the up-tempo offense that Mike Bobo wanted to instill. And since then, they're still kind of trying to get used to that a little bit. I think last week they had their best unit out there, or excuse me, best starting five. But the starting guard, Zach Goldich, is probably going to be out this week. So they'll have to shuffle things around a little bit and bring in Kevin O'Brien to center and slide over Jake Bennett's guard. But it's a unit that's been up and down. They can play well. But when I watched Utah State's defensive line, like against Utah, they have some big guys up front that know how to play. And just on paper, I think Utah State has the advantage when their defensive line is going up against CSU's offensive line. On the other side of the ball, I'd consider it more of a wash, perhaps leaning more towards Utah State simply because CSU's they bring back a lot of experience. But from what I've seen this year, not really overly dominant pass rush, and then the run game, they've been pretty stout thanks to some help from the linebacker play. But I think, I mean, if you just look at it on paper, it's kind of even, I would say, when CSU's D-line is on the field. But again, like I said, I might give Utah State more benefit of the doubt.
Okay, I mean, based on that, you know, Utah State is favored by just 6 points at home. What is your prediction for the game?
Well, I mean, being a road game, I think CSU, they really had a lot of momentum even after that Minnesota loss, but ever since the CU loss, they just looked flat. I mean, virtually all game last week, they came away with a victory on the road. But from, you know, until they can prove that they're really, you know, reaching their potential and really going on all cylinders, I think going on the road, a team, Utah State, that even without Chucky Keaton, I just look at the line play. I've been very impressed by what I've seen on both sides of the ball for Utah State. And even without, you know, a couple of key playmakers from last year, I still think they have enough to make enough big plays. And, of course, being at home, that's going to be a huge advantage for Utah State. And they're going to be looking to, you know, make a run here in the conference, of course. So I'd give the edge. You know, before the season, I thought Utah State would win this game. But I'm going to stick with that. So going in, I think Utah State's going to come away with a victory and beat CSU 24-13.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Ryan. I have one more question for you. What is your favorite thing to have for lunch?
Oh, man, I'm pretty easy. There's a lot of stuff I like. I'd probably go with a Chipotle chicken burrito.
All right. Keep it simple.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ryan, once again. Where can our listeners find you if they want to get more Colorado State content?
Sure, I appreciate that. So, again, I'm the publisher of boldandgreennews.com. I cover CSU for Rivals.com, for the Rivals.com affiliate. So we cover recruiting, football, and basketball. Have you covered on all that front. So if you have any CSU listeners, check out goldandgreennews.com.
All right. Once again, thanks, Ryan, and we'll talk to you later as the basketball season comes around.
All right. Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.